You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. This is DJ Ambush, and you are listening to The Numbers, 96.7 FM. Doc, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
Wait, I got a question for you. Is that a Darth Vader t-shirt?
It is a Mandalorian t-shirt.
All right.
Yeah, same universe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see the bottom. Yeah.
So it's been good. Things have been great. We got some good news. We've been talking about the expansion of the vaccine to include younger age groups. So if we're getting some, you know, some information on that, we'll be going over this show. I'm really, really excited about that. I know I've talked about this before. My favorite people are the toddlers. Those are my guys. I like to get down there and play with them. And to know that they have the ability now to socialize, vaccinated, it's amazing.
Yeah, times are changing. It's good to see that. You know, actually, I think tomorrow Oregon will be rolling out the 5 to 11 year olds. So I actually got my little man an appointment.
Nice.
To get vaccinated on Saturday. So I'm really excited about that. It's it'll be good to, you know, to have some confidence that you know, he's somewhat protected with this vaccine. So exciting times.
So from what I understand, it's two doses.
Yep.
And there's a 3-week span in between them.
Yeah. So let's tee it up for next week, right?
Yeah.
Let's tee it up for the next episode, because that's a big one. We have a special guest coming in to discuss all of that and
all the details.
And to discuss all the details. So, folks, tune in next week. We'll be back with details on that, and we'll talk a lot about what's going on in the pediatric population.
Yes, and please, if you have any questions, use the submission form on our website. Submit some questions that you may have with regards to any concerns as far as getting your child vaccinated. We can ask the doctors live when we have them next week.
Yeah, so that's a good segue to a conversation that we were having prior to the show, beginning of the show, right? Mm-hmm. You said a friend of yours had a
Yes. So a friend of mine reached out to me over the weekend because a friend of his was going to get vaccinated, and he's presently taking some antibiotics. And he asked the healthcare provider, will the antibiotics I'm taking affect the potency of the vaccine? And he said the person was like, you know what? I'm not sure if I can give you a conclusive answer on that. But I said, you know, based on some of the conversations I've had with you, I said, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we're good there. There isn't any data that states that, you know, taking antibiotics are going to have any adverse effects on the effectiveness of the vaccine.
And that's true. But I got a question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is that friend of yours Nicki Minaj?
Might be Kyrie. I don't want to. Aaron Rodgers. There's so many at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they say it was a friend of mine. You know.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah. It did feel good to be informed and to be able to give my non-medical opinion, but still an informed opinion on that question. Yeah. Is there anything else? Like, I'm sure people are like, okay, well, antibiotics specifically won't affect the effectiveness of, well, won't compromise the effectiveness of the vaccine. But just to reiterate for anyone that may have missed, you know, us having this conversation before, there isn't any data to support that anything that you're taking, vitamins, any of that, will affect the potency of the vaccine, correct?
That is true. That is true. So it's, you should be able to get vaccinated even if you're taking antibiotics. You should be able to get vaccinated even if you're taking your supplements, whatever they may be, right? Mm-hmm. So the one thing that we kind of touched on last time was the difference of a booster shot and a booster shot and a third shot, right? Mm-hmm. A booster shot being a shot that you get for certain, at least for now, for certain populations after you've completed your first series of vaccinations 6 months prior. Mm-hmm. And the third shot is for those that are immunocompromised who may not mount as robust a reaction. So those are people that are taking things like chemotherapy agents or, you know, some rheumatologic medications that cause your immune system to be weakened. And so those folks, because they don't mount as robust a reaction, as robust a response to the initial primary series, they need to get a third shot, which is very, very different, which is not very different, not very, very different, but it's more than what a booster shot is.
Got you. So it would be, that would still be included. I mean, looked at as just part of their specific vaccination round. Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
got yes, you. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Excellent. Good to know. So flu season is here. Should we be concerned? Should we have any additional concerns?
You know, that's, I like that question because it speaks to what, you know, what it speaks to how the flu season typically affects most folks. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, so I was a hospitalist for most of my adult working life, right? And we used to call the flu season, which is usually in the winter, right, the dying season, because in this country we see about 30,000 to 50,000 people dying from the flu every single year.
Wow.
I mean, 30 to 50,000 people dying every single year from the flu. And yes, granted, it's mostly elderly folks or people with weakened immune systems, but that's still a lot. Yeah. And what we saw last year was an anomaly in that, ever since we started keeping records of the data of who's getting affected by flu, who's getting sick from flu, and who's dying from flu, we saw a significant decline in the number of cases of the flu. We saw a significant decline in the number of people dying from the flu last year, and of course, a lot of that had to do with the COVID protective behaviors we were taking, right? Which is, you know, staying away from each other, you know, the good physical distancing, the good hand hygiene, wearing our masks. Right. So that significantly decreased the number of people who were getting sick. And so that's with the flu season coming back and with people being more relaxed with those COVID protective behaviors, we anticipate that the numbers will go up a little bit from last year. I don't think they'll be as high as they were in the previous years. I don't think they'll get to the 30 to 50,000. This is that time that we should be encouraging people to continue wearing their masks, right? We should be encouraging people to continue the good hand hygiene and keeping their distance.
I've definitely had conversations with people that have noticed just in their life, like, I've gotten less sick since I've been wearing a mask. They kind of get used to catching whatever it is they catch seasonally. Just, you know, it's that time of year again, I'm going to be sick. And,
yep.
You know, it may have something to do with their routines, people they're around, places they are, but they're just so used to being sick during certain times of the year and didn't experience that because of, again, COVID protections. And then us also being in quarantine played a huge factor. You know?
Oh, true. Right. And I guess our kids were not in school. Right. So our kids are very, very good germ vectors. I mean, they carry bugs from wherever they are back to their loved ones at home. So
yes.
they not having them in school kind of protected a lot of folks.
Protected huge groups of people, just keeping the kids away from each other. And now they are back in school and after wearing masks, we still are going to have a certain level of protection that we didn't have before. Do you have concerns that the fact that the overall infection rate of things outside of COVID are declining, do you think that people would just become more relaxed overall with, you know, with all of the measures at some point, maybe a year from now? Kind of like, flu for the most part. That's something in the past. We don't really get the flu like that anymore.
Well, you know, that's a scary part, right? You know, so some people will become too relaxed that they will inadvertently cause a lot of harm to folks that are vulnerable to that, to those conditions. So we still have to keep our guard up. We still have to, you know, make sure that we're protecting each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of protecting each other, Oregon schools are supposed to still practice many precautions to protect children and staff from COVID-19. If they protect against COVID-19, won't they still protect, won't these same protections protect against the flu? I'm curious, do you know of any additional things that they may be doing outside of, you know, the things we have in place for COVID-19?
So at the schools, it's for the most part the COVID mitigation factors are what's going to keep the flu numbers low. In terms of the extra stuff that they're doing, I don't think they're doing anything extra with regards to the flu. What we do know, right, is this, you know how back in the day when your kid had a fever, you would give them maybe, people would, maybe not a fever, because most schools would say if your kid has a fever, they should stay away for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Or nowadays, if a kid has, you know, the sniffles and, mm-hmm. you know, they feel congested and they're having chills, the recommendation is keep them at home until all of that resolves.
Right.
Back in the day, people didn't do that. People would just send them to school.
Yeah.
So those
something real quick to break the fever and then send them in.
Yeah. 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 So those behaviors will hopefully lessen the amount of flu spreading in the community and will of course lessen the amount of COVID spreading in the community. Hey, look at it this way. These are both respiratory illnesses and they spread the same way.
Right.
It's just that COVID is a whole lot more transmissible than the flu.
Right. So we should be in good shape. We should be in good shape, y'all.
Yeah.
In October, the CDC published a study that reviewed children's flu hospitalizations in the United States from 2009 to 2019. And it found that black people had the highest rates of hospitalization and ICU admission. Black children under the age of 5 were also more than twice as likely to be hospitalized than white children. Why do you think these disparities are happening?
You know, that's how much time do you have? So you know, the honest truth is, I think this speaks to the disparities that we see in healthcare in this country. Mm. I think that's what's that's the underlying factor in all of this. Mm. And of course, all of those things lead to, you know, more Black folks having more pre-existing conditions, and as a result, being more likely to be hospitalized, being more likely to end up in the ICU, And guess what? If you are sick and you take that illness back home, your kids are going to get that illness too, right? So your right. kids are at least going to be exposed to that illness. So there is that makes sense. That you know what you see in the adults, you'll see the disparities that you see in the adult population will also be expressed in the pediatric population.
Yeah.
So it's quite unfortunate. I think as a society, we need to look at ourselves, right, and be honest with ourselves about making sure that the most vulnerable in our society are protected, making sure that the social determinants of health are truly evaluated, and we focus on those things as clinicians, not just as clinicians, as an entire medical system, as a society, right?
Yeah. You also introduced me and maybe some of our listeners to chronic stress syndrome and how that's a huge factor in our community and affects our overall health. And then, you know, the lack of trust that some of our community has with medicine here in the United States leads us in a place where we have undiagnosed illnesses. And you know, some of us are immunocompromised and have absolutely no idea. So, you know, those are other factors that can definitely, you know, lead to some of this data we're seeing. What are some other things? What are some ideas? What can we do to close these health gaps in our community?
Again, how much time do you have?
He pulls out the pamphlet. He's like, so if you turn to chapter 3, I can get you.
Page 6025. How to solve the social ills.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, you know, so some of the things that we can do, some of the things so here's what I know. I know that at least here in Oregon, right, we have been at the forefront of talking about the social determinants of health. We've been at the forefront of talking about teaching medical students, teaching nursing students, teaching respiratory therapists and social workers, physical therapists, occupational therapists, you name it. I know there are numerous groups that are missing in that. But teaching all those folks that that you have to talk about the social determinants of health. You have to talk about making them more cognizant of the fact that what's happening in patients' environments, what's happening in patients' lives on a day-to-day basis affects their health. Right. If I'm worried about the food, where my next meal is going to come from, I'm not going to be too concerned about taking my blood pressure medication, right? I'm not even going to have that blood pressure medication because I'm not going to spend the extra $5 of the copay or $10 of the copay to get my medications. So understanding all those things, understanding how all those things fit in will help save a lot of lives. I'll give you a very, very good example. There's Multnomah County has this program, right? The REACH program, the racial and ethnic approaches to community health. And they have a lot of efforts that they have that are designed to ensure that these gaps are somewhat closed. And this is a shout out to some of our colleagues, right? Yeah. Whom you know, Tamika Brazil, Charlene McGee and James and Tyler and all those guys who are at the forefront of this REACH program. And a shout out to Multnomah County as well for having a program like this that ensures it responds to the needs of the community. There are a lot of clinics in town that focus primarily on, you know, that actually there's one clinic, what is it called? The one clinic that focuses on Black folks' health. Is it on MLK?
Oh, yes, on MLK and Killingsworth.
Man, why am I blanking on this?
North Molt
North by
Co.
Northeast. So there are people who are cognizant of these things, who are focusing in, zooming in on providing health for people of color, in this particular case, black folks.
I feel like I mean, on the internet that, when you feel like someone's talking about you indirectly, you're like, at me next time. I feel like, there wasn't a shot, but I definitely felt seen in some of the things that you were saying with regards to you're running around and you're doing so much, and you do tend to neglect some of the habits that your clinician has given you, your doctor has given you with regards to your health. I'm a diabetic. I also have high blood pressure. Part of maintaining, of course, is making sure I take my medication on time, and I'm doing all that, but I am not diligent in tracking my numbers. When it's time for the A1C test, I go off of that, and you get those like every 3 months, every 3, 4 months, you get that assessment. But doing the daily, multiple times a day, checking my numbers, I've gotten to the point where I can kind of feel when my energy is shifting and feel when I'm getting those lulls and spikes. But if you were to ask what were your numbers this morning, so yeah, it's all of us. It's all of us, y'all.
And you know what the scary part is? All of these diseases, right? They're chronic diseases, and we don't see the they're dangerous, and they're called silent killers for a reason. Because you don't, once you start feeling bad, once you start feeling poorly, it means that the disease has progressed far enough that you're going to feel poorly. And it takes a long time for that to happen, hence chronic disease, right? And by the time you get to that point where you're feeling poorly, man, for some people it may be too late. It may mean death. For some people it may mean an amputation of an extremity. For some people it may mean, going blind, because diabetes, for instance, can cause diabetic retinopathy, which is you could go blind from that, or you're on dialysis because your kidneys are not working well because of the diabetes. So we have to be, these are conversations that we need to be having as a community, right? These are conversations that our clinicians need to be talking to us about.
True, true. All right, you guys are listening. I'm getting scolded. It's all right. I'm cool with it.
Just looking out for you, my man. Just
I
looking
love
out
it.
for you.
No, seriously, it's true. Got it. We gotta change our habits. We have to. Ultimately, our health is in our hands, so if we're given the tools, and if we have any questions about that, definitely make sure you're asking, checking in with your doctor, your primary, and anyone else in the health community that you trust. Just keep asking, keep asking. Some people think the flu and COVID are the same, and that's why there were so many flu cases last year, because they were reported as COVID cases. Is that possible? Is that accurate?
No. So they
Okay.
are not the same. This COVID-19 is from, it's SARS-CoV-2, and it's the novel coronavirus, right? Which is totally different from the flu. And what we the tests that we have to detect these viruses, to detect who's infected, can tell us clearly whether or not you have the flu and whether or not you have COVID-19. So people should not confuse the two. Yes, they're both respiratory illnesses, but they're very, very different. The mitigation factors that we've talked about work really, really well for both these diseases because they are respiratory illnesses. We should not forget, folks, we should not forget that COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, is a whole lot more contagious than the flu.
Please, let's not forget that. Please. Let's see. we've covered, I feel like we've covered just about everything.
And
as more and more information comes out, you know, we will be continuing the discussion. Really, really looking forward to next week's episode. Really looking forward to that.
You know, we should end by talking about the importance of getting your flu shot. So as you're getting your booster shot right now, because for a lot of people are getting their booster shots, get your flu shot as well.
Right.
You know, I've been doing a clinic with Cascadia, where we're giving booster shots to Cascadia Behavioral Health employees. And a lot of people are coming in and getting their flu shot at the same time. So that's quite possible. And that's actually encouraged. So make sure when you're getting your booster shot, if you got your primary series, get your flu shot as well. If you're getting your primary series of the COVID-19 vaccine, get your flu shot while you're at it.
Right. All right. There it is. Thank you so much, Doc. We will catch you guys next week. Again, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to submit them on the website through the form. Also, anywhere this is posted, and you can leave a comment, post your question there. All right, we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.